You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
If your Social Security benefits have been denied, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns! So we're going to get into mock drafts. We're going to start with Charlie Casserly's just posted today, mock draft 2.0. He has the Browns trading their number 12 and pick 43. They're picking the second round to move up from 12 to 5 to select Marcus Mariota. And then at number 19, they take Malcolm Brown, the defensive tackle from Texas, to upgrade the run defense. So he has them trading 12 and 43 to move up to 5. So the Browns would come out of the first and second rounds with only two players. They come out with Mariota and Malcolm Brown. Wouldn't pick again until the third round.
And, you know, you and I talked to you about this, you know, right after we went to break, knowing we were coming back to talk about Charlie Casserly's draft. And I made mention to you that this is the second consecutive mock draft where Charlie Casserly has us linked to Marcus Mariota and making a trade to get Marcus Mariota. The first one, he had us moving up to 6 and trade with the New York Jets and select Marcus Mariota. This one now to 5 with the Washington Redskins. Washington Redskins then he has moving back and getting Randy Gregory. And I just, as a former general manager who's probably still has his ear to the streets and many pipelines open to information, I have an inclination that he knows something that that we don't, you know.
Clearly, it'd be something we don't. I would be, because it just would be so surprising to me that this team would give up two assets for one.
Correct. Even though you're right in saying that, but if you wholeheartedly believe that Marcus Mariota is your franchise quarterback, he is the equivalent to 5 picks in my eyes. If you can go out and lock him down and he can be
the
future.
True.
That's true. And also, too, if we had not made the move last year with the Buffalo Bills, we'd still have 2 picks in the first and second round, and we'd still be essentially making 2 picks. So and it can be a lateral move based on how you look at it.
You would be right. You'd come in, you'd have 9 picks instead of 10, which is fine. You would still have 2 in the first 2 rounds, but both would come in the first round. So it's better than it would have been if you did neither deal. It just, you know, what does that say for you about where you're at with Johnny? Are you just saying already after 7 quarters that you've wasted a first-round pick on Johnny Manziel?
You might. And
is that what you're saying?
You might. That might be the thought process, simply because you're getting a better person, I will say, in Marcus Mariota. You're getting a bigger quarterback. But other than that, I think you're getting similar athleticism. Arm strength the same. Speed the same. And in some cases, and that's why I prefaced, you know, my comment earlier with they have to feel like he is the franchise quarterback. We have to go all in with him to make this move that he is your next 5 years at quarterback. That means Josh McCown may, in fact, not start the season as quarterback. He's got to be your guy. He's got to take his lumps, well, and he's got to get immediate return from him.
A lot of people think Mariota, though, needs that year, needs time to adjust to the NFL.
I know, which will be very difficult because, in my eyes, I don't believe Josh McCown is a 16-game starter for the Cleveland Browns, which means that Johnny Manziel, Connor Shaw, or Thad Lewis, we'll just say Johnny Manziel, gets on the field, and if Johnny is rehabilitated as a person and Johnny football is an afterthought and he's enamored with the game of football and wanting to prove himself, that job might not be available for Marcus Mariota next year, and yet we still have Josh McCown under contract as well.
So in that scenario, the Browns would have McCown, Mariota, Manziel. You'd have to wonder if Manziel then is on the move or what. I personally would be very surprised if that's the outcome, but as you said, Charlie Casserly has done that twice now. You look at Mel Kiper, his mock draft 4.0 came out last week. We ended up not getting to it until now. He has the Browns staying put at number 12 and taking Devontae Parker, who was in town for a visit last week. 6'2", 210-pound, number one receiver, legit. And then they have them coming back at number 19 with Todd Gurley, the running back out of Georgia. So he has them going wide receiver, running back, in the first round. I definitely don't see that happening. I think the Browns are happy with Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell. I don't think they need to go back and go into Gurley in the first round. I think he's a team that's a luxury pick for a good team. Todd Gurley's a luxury pick for a good team.
Like, again, the Cowboys being linked to him and the San Diego Chargers potentially being in a market for him as well later in the draft, which, of course, is potentially when we might take him. But I love the Isaiah Crowell, Terrence West matchup that we have. And then what we're also discounting in, and this is where a guy like Ray Farmer makes his weight, is when players become available after cuts, you know, on that Saturday, maybe there's a veteran, you know, that you can get in here for $1 million, $2 million, a guy, you know, 3, 4, 5 years in the league that could bring just enough stability to that room so you don't have to fully rely on 2 second-year players, you know, just to add them to the mix.
Yes.
And throw them in a roster spot as opposed to having to draft, you know, when there's voids at other positions that you can get younger, that you can get talented. Todd Gurley's not a pick that I like. And even more so, I want to discuss one more mock draft that I tuned into that in some cases you'll like half of it, but not the first half. Pro Football Talk had us taking Landon Collins, safety out of Alabama, at 12.
That would surprise
me. And then Cameron Irving, again, at 19, the guy, your do-it-all offensive lineman out of Florida State.
Landon Collins is a very good player.
No, I'm not discounting that by any means.
But a strong safety, he would be the guy that would be the heir apparent to Dante Whitner.
Sure. Are we that, again, luxury pick at 12 when he's the – we're not drafting heir apparents.
No,
we need to draft guys that come in and start right
now.
That's
what the 49ers were doing. They would draft their heir apparents. That's what the – you know, I agree. I think you need to get guys that start right now for this team in the first round of the draft, and hopefully you can do that. Cameron Irving can start for you right now at guard, but he is also an heir apparent and an insurance policy on Alex Mack. I would be happy. Devontae Parker seems great to me. Danny Shelton seems great to me. The best edge rusher on your board at 12
Bud
seems
Dupree
great
or
to
somebody
me.
At
right.
12.
However the Browns decide to rank it out there, I think would be interesting. Marcus Mariota now, I don't know if it's smoke season because everything's going crazy, you know, as we get closer to the draft, but now a lot, some people are saying, Ron Jaworski saying, he could go number one overall. Let's just get some sound on these top two quarterbacks, specifically Mariota, because Charlie Casserly and the Pro Football Talk, the rumors of the Browns trading up to get Mariota won't go away. Here's what Mel Kiper had to say about Mariota learning how to become a mobile quarterback in the NFL.
He better learn to be a mobile quarterback, not a running quarterback. And I think that's something that these guys have to adapt to. RG3 hasn't yet adapted to that. We'll see moving forward if he can. Some have. Kaepernick adjusted right away to that. Can Marcus Mariota realize that, yeah, you got to be smart when you're running with the football? And I think there were times at Oregon he was. I saw numerous times where he would get out of bounds. He would veer out of bounds, or Russell Wilson gets it. Kaepernick gets it. RG3 should learn from them what it takes to stay healthy. That's the key with him. I don't want to hear about running quarterbacks. Steve Young wasn't a running quarterback. He was a mobile quarterback. Mobile, not running. If they get that in their head, they're a lot better off.
I think Kiper's spot on there. And then also, too, even more so, Mel Kiper, here he is talking about how teams don't have the time to develop quarterbacks anymore.
You know the problem I have with all this, guys? I started this thing too early in 1978. Because back in those days, well, you remember in the 80s, Todd, when you were in third grade,
I was,
you know, I mean,
I was one when you started.
You were developing quarterbacks, and you coached quarterbacks, and you let them evolve into NFL quarterbacks. They had no clue. I asked Ron Jaworski about that. He gets so disgusted with the force feeding and the lack of time to develop players, not just quarterbacks. We're evaluating these rookies like they're 6-year veterans. Right.
And that's part of the issue, and coaches have said they're not doing a good job developing quarterbacks. Mariota is a guy that many people think will need to develop. Todd McShay saying the teams need to have a plan in place to mentor Mariota on his transition.
You have to have a vision with Mariota, and how, and you've got to have a plan in order to see the whole thing through. And you've got to believe in your quarterback coach. You've got to believe in your offensive coordinator and how you're going to bring Mariota through your system, because he's not going to step in right away, understand fully pro concepts and be able to handle an entire offense like Jameis Winston would, or like an Andrew Luck would, or some of the other quarterbacks who played in pro style systems. He's very smart. He's going to pick it up, but it's going to take a little bit of time. So I don't know that you draft him at 2, even though, to your point, and I get it, and I'm on board with it. If he's at 5, and because of the positional value, you got to take him, but you better be prepared to have some patience.
Marcus Mariota has been all over the board. We've had Brian Baldinger having him in his mock draft drop to 20, him drop to another mock draft to us, the Cleveland Browns, at 12. Let's hear from Mike Mayock talking about why Marcus Mariota has moved up in his personal position rankings.
As far as Mariota is concerned, the more tape I've watched, the more I appreciated what he's been asked to do in their version of the spread offense. He reads combination routes. He takes tremendous care of the football, and he wins games. Now, he's not as natural a thrower, but in the correct scheme, I think he can be productive. So, Andrew, I've been fighting this for a long time, and I think that's where I have to come down on it.
And Mayock now talks about why Winston dropped, and we'll give you some insight on this in just a second.
Well, I've been fighting with this thing all along, Andrew, and there's been two issues for me with Winston. Number one is on the field. He threw 18 interceptions this year, and on a team that arguably had the best talent in the country, He continued to put his team at a disadvantage almost weekly. The first half against Louisville, Miami, and Florida were awful. Now, he came back in the second half and played tremendously well, as we all know. Now, off the field, regardless of what did or didn't happen in that alleged rape, he continued a pattern of poor decisions throughout his career. So the bottom line for me is, can you trust him off the field?
And that's a big question. Now, Pete Prisco on CBS is actually talking about it, and I saw that you retweeted it, Gibbs, on the Browns Daily account. Said the Bucs are tanking Winston. Please stop. For what the Bucs need now, a real quarterback who can play from the pocket, there's no comparison between Mariota and Winston. None. I happen to agree with that opinion. I think that Winston is by far the best quarterback in this class, and there is going to be an adjustment. You even heard Mayock say that he ran his version of the spread, and he can read combination routes, and he's going to have to do some things, but certainly didn't say he's a finished product from the pocket.
Not at all. No, he didn't. And that's the thing. Jameis Winston adapts more so to the National Football League ability to play the quarterback. That's all he's stating. And that is why, in many people's eyes, why he's going to be the number one overall pick. His game transfers much more clearly than Marcus Mariota's does. And even Mike Mayock, who just mentioned how he's moved up in his rankings, was also very critical and was in a quandary of how to rank a guy like Marcus Mariota, because you have to take into effect how playing in a spread offense transitions into the NFL. And that's something that we've seen guys both succeed in and fail in.
We have. And it's going to be interesting. These draft boards. And that's why I don't see the Browns making that big of a move for another guy that you don't know if
right.
he can transition into the NFL.
He's not a home run.
He's in the
same. The Browns need a home run.
He's bigger than, yes, he's bigger than Johnny Manziel. I don't know if his arm's any stronger than Johnny Manziel's, but he's a bigger physically guy, character issues. He has none, but that's, again, a big mortgage for another guy in a spread offense who's going to have to make a big transition into the National Football League. I don't know if that happens. Now, Peter Schrager from Fox Sports released his mock draft version 5 about he spent a lot of the time talking to several NFL decision makers, etc., and he thinks he's got to draft the Browns, make a trade in this one again, giving up a lot to move up, but it's not for Marcus Mariota. We'll tell you who it's for when we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Suspense.